All this week, we've been bringing you voices on women's health, and we've heard from many of you about how your concerns about reproductive decisions and pregnancy are too often misunderstood or dismissed by doctors.
The entire pregnancy, he just kept telling me that it was in my head and that I was supposed to be in pain.
I kept telling my doctor that I was really sick. I was aching.
Something just didn't feel right. I was told from day one I was just, quote unquote, being difficult or even that I wanted attention.
People at his office just said, oh yes, everybody's really sick.
Finally got so bad that he recommended I see a GI doctor who diagnosed me with acute chronic pancreatitis.
I was 26 weeks gestation. I delivered that day. She lived 7 days.
Finally, somebody listened to me because the blood work matched what I had been telling them for the last few weeks.
It literally took my daughter's death before doctors took me seriously.
The message, loud and clear for many of you this week, believe me, believe me. So many of you asked us about maternal and reproductive health in the U.S. and how things could be better. Well, today, we want to get you some answers. And Dr. Elizabeth Howell is here to do just that. She's director of the Women's Health Research Institute at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai here in New York City. Welcome, Dr. Howell.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Howell, before we get to our calls, so many people called in this week and they had the same experience. These are women reporting that they felt that they were not being heard, especially when it comes to reproductive choices or pain associated with pregnancy. Are you surprised so many women feel this way?
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised. I think this resonates with many women, and it resonates with many folks who think about maternal mortality and those of us who also focus in on disparities. And this story is familiar. I think Serena Williams' recent story and also in Vanity Fair sort of highlighted this issue that women are often not heard and that their symptoms, they're feeling these symptoms. And for some reason, our healthcare system seems to be interpreting them in a different way. And I think it's something that we really need to start focusing on.
We've spoken about in this series how a lot of medicine doesn't fully understand how, you know, a woman's body works. But the woman herself, who's in that body from birth until death, knows how her body feels. And you would think that a woman like Serena Williams, who's an athlete, who every day focuses on the intricacies of her body, would be trusted when she says something is wrong. Given that, how do women who aren't athletes, who aren't multimillionaires, who aren't famous, advocate for themselves?
Well, I think it's really important. I think the story and the lesson here is about advocacy for yourself and that you don't give up. And that, you know, if you have another voice in the room as well, I think that can be helpful. I think, you know, overall, clinicians try their hardest to do the best that they can. They just sometimes have to be reminded because they're worried about a lot of other things during that period of time. They're watching the baby's heart rate on a monitor. They're doing a bunch of other things as well. And so sometimes they're thinking, especially if there's a complication, they may be thinking about other things with the fetus and the baby at that moment. And so we just have to always remember that we have to advocate for ourselves.
Let's hear from one of our listeners.
This is Becca from Charleston, South Carolina. I'd like to hear your expert speak about the disparities in maternal mortality rates that exist in the United States. Thanks.
There are significant racial and ethnic disparities in maternal mortality in this country, as well as geographic, you know, worse outcomes for women who are in rural areas. The most striking and the largest disparity has been longstanding, and that is that Black women, whether they're born in this country or outside of this country, have a rate that's about 3 to 4 times higher than white women of a pregnancy-related death. This has been something that is very concerning and has been receiving more and more attention more recently as we've heard how we compare to other countries overall in the maternal mortality rates, where the United States actually has rates that have been increasing, while those in other developed countries, the rates have decreased. And we have the highest maternal mortality rate among sort of the wealthier countries.
It's so troubling to hear that. Here's another question that we got, which echoes what we've heard from so many women.
Hi, my name is Adeline, and I'm calling from Palatine, Illinois. My question for you guys is, why doesn't healthcare take postpartum seriously within mothers and offer help and maybe at-home nurses to help with the change of life?
So As a person who studies maternal mortality, this is a really important issue, postpartum care. Now, our caller was talking about support and what's happening. So there are other countries that have, you know, nurse visitors who, you know, visit the home to sort of support women. And there are some programs in this country that also do that for certain women. There's a growing recognition that we need to support women during this time, not only because of their physical health, but we know that emotional health, 10 to 15% of women will have postpartum depression. So support is really critical during this period. And we're learning more and more about different kinds of programs that might be able to be offered to women that can help support them. Things like having a care manager, having a patient navigator help them make sure that they can get back for their postpartum care, et cetera. But returning for your postpartum visit, managing your, if you had gestational diabetes, managing your sugars postpartum to make sure that you don't go on to get type 2 diabetes. There are all sorts of critical things for your health during this period.
I'm struck by that statistic. 10 to 15% will experience some form of postpartum depression. Wow. So there are a lot of women who don't want to have children, but there are some who say that they missed out on the opportunity because of work. I want to read a text message from one of our listeners in Erie, Pennsylvania. She writes, I spent most of my 20s and 30s moving around for my career, and as such, didn't have a consistent OBGYN. I received so much conflicting information about fertility that I missed out in having children. I wish there were more standardization about having certain conversations with women at different times in their lives. So, Dr. Howell, how could we do a better job of communicating with young working women about fertility and their options?
So I think we've known for a while the age, and you know, this is not my field. I'm a person who sort of studies maternal mortality, but I think all OBGYNs could do a better job sort of just talking this through with their young patients and explaining, you know, your fertility decreases with your age, but that is not a factor that has to stop you anymore, that there are just so many more options. When you go and speak to one of these infertility physicians, they get women who are older pregnant with very healthy outcomes. So there are a lot of options now. And I think this field is another field that has just taken off. It's incredible. When I think back to my residency and what the age of the patients that I used to see on the board during labor and delivery, and now when I go to labor and delivery, what the age difference is, it's amazing.
So much has changed. I mean, it's 2018 and medicine is extraordinary at this point, but there's still some challenges. Now, for everyone who's listening right now, is there any thought or message you want to let people know as we end our conversation here about reproductive or other issues?
I think it is really important for us to advocate for ourselves when we're encountering the healthcare system. And that's a really important piece. I think we've heard a lot of stories reminding us of that today. And the other thing I want to just say is we really need to take care of our nutrition and our diet and optimize our health before we enter pregnancy so we can have the best outcomes for both moms and babies.
Thank you so much, Dr. Elizabeth Howell, MD, Director, Women's Health Research Institute at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai.
Thank you.